with his ex-girlfriend. If Pierce completes the six-month program, the felony and misdemeanor charges will be dropped, as agreed upon by all parties. Baltimore Ravens have picked up the fifth-year option on the contract of wide receiver Zay Flowers. ESPN says Spurs center Victor Wembanyama will travel with the team to Portland for games 3 and 4, but remains in concussion protocol in their best-of-seven series. Knicks and Hawks tonight. Cavs and Raptors, T-Wolves and Nuggets wrap things up in the triple header. BYU freshman A.J. DeBonta announced he'll enter the 2026 NBA draft.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, American cattle producers gathered in Washington, D.C. on tax day for a press conference highlighting the benefits of the working families tax cuts included in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Industry leaders pointed to expanded estate tax exemptions and permanent small business tax provisions as key wins for producers. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President and Virginia cattle producer Gene Copenhaver said the changes will help secure the future of family operations. Well, U.S. sugar producers are raising alarms over a surge of subsidized foreign sugar imports they say are threatening the domestic industry. The American Sugar Alliance is warning that rising import volumes are driving down prices and eroding U.S. market share. Some countries have reportedly increased over-quota shipments by nearly 3,000% since 2021. The alliance argues that current tariff rates set more than two decades ago have lost effectiveness due to inflation. Well, the Trump administration is preparing to direct tens of billions of dollars from tariffs and renegotiated trade deals towards strengthening domestic fertilizer production. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, speaking before lawmakers, emphasized the urgency of rebuilding U.S. capacity, saying we've got to invest in more infrastructure and reshore fertilizer back to America. She says formal plans could be announced soon, though new facilities may take 12 to 18 months to become operational.
The 2026 world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale starts with horse racing. 6 days with Parimutuel Wagering, May 2nd and 3rd on Derby Days, coinciding with the Kentucky Derby that'll be shown live in Miles City, Montana. Mother's Day is extra special with Mom's Free to the Races and more races added May 15th through the 17th. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, where the spirit of the West comes alive. For a full schedule and tickets, head to buckinghorsesale.com.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are losing steam in afternoon trading led by software stocks as investors digest another crop of earnings reports and tensions escalate in the Middle East. Oil prices are rising for a fourth day and rekindling inflation worries with West Texas Intermediate crude topping $94 a barrel. The Magnificent Seven big cap tech stocks are mostly lower, led by Tesla and Microsoft. Shares of Tesla are falling 3%. The EV maker reported better revenue and earnings. However, investors are focusing on Tesla's announcement that it plans to spend $25 billion on capital expenditures as it pursues its AI ambitions. And IBM is contributing to the Dow's declines today, with its shares down nearly 9%. The legacy tech company's earnings did top expectations, though investors were disappointed that IBM was keeping its revenue guidance the same. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Christine, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, was a healthy 34-year-old, and 3 months later, he was gone. Thankfully, he had life insurance. Ethos made it so easy. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. 100% online, no medical exam. Life insurance didn't take away the loss, but it did give us the space to just grieve.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. ethos.com/save. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
We the people need more common sense economics and a lot less demagoguery if we are to make or support decisions affecting our welfare. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Early in July, the leadership of the California AFL-CIO met in convention and made a few decisions that will affect the livelihood of the workers they represent. These leaders of organized labor were more than a little upset about the passage of Proposition 13. Meaning no disrespect, I feel compelled to say the remedies they proposed reveal that they believe too many of the economic fairy tales widespread in our land today. In the first place, they must be out of step with their own rank-and-file members, because those members voted for Proposition 13 in large and enthusiastic numbers. But where the economic fairy tale shows up is in the convention's decision to battle for reimposing the property tax Proposition 13 canceled back on business and industry. They said it was a $3.5 billion break for business and therefore, by their reasoning, bad for the individual citizen. If they have their way, that $3.5 billion will end up being paid by the very individual citizens they claim they want to help. Whether it be corporation or corner store, taxes are part of business costs and must be recovered in the price of the product, meaning that all of us, as consumers, pay those taxes. Now let's take the case of a corner grocer in a nice middle-class neighborhood. The storekeeper rents the building. Everyone who shops there can understand that he must charge enough to cover the wholesale cost of the things he sells, wages to helpers, and his rent, plus a fair return for himself so he can make a living. But now, supposing he buys the building. There's no more rent, but there's interest on the mortgage and property tax instead of rent. Obviously, he can't stay in business if those costs can't be recovered in the price of the things he sells. And just like his wage-earning customers, many of them union members, he has to make enough gross income to pay his living costs after he's paid his income tax. What this all adds up to is that government can't tax things like businesses or corporations. It can only tax people. When it says it's going to make business pay, it is really saying it's going to make business help it collect taxes. Into our corner store comes a regular customer to pick up a loaf of bread on his way home. We've already covered the fact that the grocer's markup includes a share of the property tax on the store. But the truth is, the wholesale price the storekeeper paid to the bakery included its taxes and more than 150 others going all the way back to the farmer who raised the wheat. If he can't get a price for his wheat that'll cover the real estate tax in his farm, he can't stay in business either. If the trucker who hauled the wheat can't charge enough to cover his license fees and gasoline tax, he can't stay in business. Union leaders will serve the men and women they represent a lot better if they'll drop the demagoguery and take a simple course in economics. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I do want to quickly bring up, for those that are wondering, I've been missing a lot of days, especially Wednesdays, and generally about once a month, I have a court hearing. And I have a court hearing because I had a lawsuit by John Belsher's wife, with John Belsher as the attorney, and they sued me. So I've had to go into the court repeatedly as we filed a slap motion. And let me explain what a slap motion is. They sued me because I wrote a story about John Belsher when they were trying to collect the $3.6 million judgment, and it had to do with them using different names. And they said, well, you got the name wrong. She used to use that name, but she actually legally changed her name. So I corrected that in the story, which in journalism, you know, this was, they did it under seal. You couldn't find it. And they sued anyway. The issue is, with journalism, you can do what's called a slap motion, an anti-slap motion. And you're saying this is a frivolous case meant to hurt media and it should be thrown out on its face. And if you win the slap motion, you get all your money back. The problem is you still have the time that you had to put into the case. But anyway, the judge came out with a tentative about 2 weeks ago, and the tentative absolutely said that she was going to award the slap motion. She was going to grant the slap motion, which means she throws the case out, and then by law, they have to pay the legal fees, which will be in the tens of thousands of dollars. So that's kind of where the case is right now. The problem is we went to court yesterday, and the case did not end. There was the judge does not like to have court reporters who aren't in the courtroom. There had been a court reporter ordered to come into the case, and my attorney had hired one, and she wanted to do it remotely. And we decided just to put it off for a week. We go back next Wednesday and with a court reporter inside the courtroom, the way the judge wants it. And that's absolutely, the judge has a right to want to do it her way. This isn't a problem. But the tentative is very clear that Cal Coast News, that I have prevailed. It won't be legitimate till the court hears it, but it's a very strong tentative ruling regarding basically that this wasn't a private issue. When a local attorney loses is accused and is found to have through a civil suit to have defrauded his clients, it's an issue of public importance. So that came out, and the next issue was, as for talking about Jody Belsher, the article was almost primarily about her husband, but she does have some involvement. Her and her husband were both part of the case. In the end, they decided she wasn't responsible for the money. And in the ruling, the judge says, then you guys filed for divorce, but moved together to Arizona, where you were introducing yourselves as husband and wife. And while people were trying to find you and having different names. So there was, the judge said this was a issue of public importance. And as for losses, basically the story didn't cause you losses. All the issues with your husband in the past caused you losses. So in the end, it hasn't been approved by the court. We have to have our hearing on next Wednesday. And then this should probably, hopefully, be over at that time. And I just wanted to give you a little explanation about why I'm regularly not here on Wednesdays. And today we're going to talk about a number of different things. We were going to talk about my court case because I thought it would be over, but it's not over, and we can talk about it more next week and exactly what the arguments were and some of the issues that came out because of the court case. There were a number of issues with not wanting to deal with the facts of the case and instead trying to make it about residency. But we're not going to do that today. We'll do that at another time. Today I have a Grover Beach resident, Debbie Peterson, in the show. She's an author. She runs a podcast. She is very involved in trying to stop the corruption in San Luis Obispo County. What was the name of your book again?
It is The Happiest Corruption, Sleaze, Lies, and Suicide in a California Beach Town. There's a follow-up, too, though, and that is City Council 101, which would be very useful to anybody running for office in the next election.
And tell us about your podcast that you're now doing.
I have two. The first was Corruption Chronicles, where I interviewed folks who were involved in corruption and talked with them about how they fixed it. And the newest one is on Thursday nights from 6 to 7 California time. And it's called Local Impact. You can make a difference. And that is also there to help folks who want to or who are making a difference in their communities by finding and fighting corruption.
And how do people find it? Do they just go online and type it in?
Thank you for asking that. Yes, it's actually mayordebbie.com is how you sign up for it. There's a small charge just to cover some of my costs. It's $25 a month, and you get to come to four, and there will be downloads of all kinds of great documents. But you can sign up for it at mayordebbie.com. It is private. I don't publish those. So it's more of a session for people who want to confab with others doing the same thing.
And I want to get to, we're going to go over a number of issues here. There's a lot of big news issues. It has been a massive big news week. We're going to go over a number of news stories, but we're going to start in Grover Beach. So the citizens in Grover Beach remind me a little of the citizens in Paso Robles. When they didn't like Paso Robles, the paid parking in the downtown, they went down and they got way more signatures than was required, which tells the city council, you need to get rid of it or it's going to go on the ballot and it's going to be harder for you to ever make changes in the future. In Paso, they did get rid of it and they did end it. But in other, because they had so many, but in Grover Beach, they started building these very tall five-story buildings, taking away the views for a lot of the community. And a lot of the people said, we don't want to be a bunch of five-story buildings in our town. The city council did not listen, so they did a citizens' initiative and a petition. And tell us a little bit about the rocky road you faced and how this ended.
Well, a little bit of history on it. The citizens of Grover Beach participated for 10 years in putting together some great plans that we now have evidence worked for how they wanted to see their community develop. And the initial one is based on something that we all voted on 50 years ago when we set up our the Coastal Act, which protects our coast for low-cost, low-impact participation by people from all over the world. And so the people of Grover Beach wanted to preserve that because it's their biggest asset, is that you can drive down almost any street in Grover Beach and see the ocean. And so they're not looking to protect individual views from individual homes. They're looking to protect, for all posterity, the really unique access to the coast that we have in Grover Beach and the really unique culture and personality of the community. So that all got overridden during COVID when the city, none of whom had participated in all these workshops over the 10-year period while I was the mayor and planning commissioner and council member, where the community really came together and crafted how they wanted to see things develop. And during COVID, with really no public outreach because people didn't know how to use Zoom at that point, if they even had it at some of the meetings, and were afraid to go out to meetings, many of them. And so they changed the very good plan that the citizens had put in place, which was to allow four-story buildings up to 40 feet at the intersections of 16th and Grand and 4th and Grand, the big intersections. However, everywhere else, the citizens really wanted just two or three stories, and they wanted to limit it to 40 feet in commercial. They love the concept of mixed use. They love the concept of creating some affordable housing. So when they started to see these tall buildings come in, they had trusted what was in place in all of our code in Grover Beach. They trusted that 10 years of work they'd done together would be honored. And then they saw these buildings. Now, the city takes umbrance, if you call it, five stories, because they only approved one that was officially five stories. However, they're 55 feet high, and they have also approved roof decks and other accoutrements on the tops of buildings that take them to 66 feet. So that's the equivalent of five or six stories, but they don't like us to call it five stories. They say that, you know, that's spreading falsehoods. So we say 55 to 66 feet, where 10 feet is usually considered a story. So the citizens got together to do that. And the first issue we faced was that when the volunteers went in to, and I should say, I'm not a proponent. I'm not an official person named on the measure itself. I'm simply an observer, and I've helped them with what they're doing. And I support what they're doing, of course. But I'm not speaking for the proponents. I'm speaking for myself. And the volunteers went into the county. Now, I don't know what the rest of you out there have experienced, but every time I've gone in for the last 20 years to get the voter's roll, I've had it the same day. That afternoon, when these folks went in, they were told, oh, it'll probably take 10 days. Well, it took 8 days, but that lost them 8 days of contact with voters up front, which led me to think, that's really interesting. I wonder if maybe the county doesn't like all these measures, and maybe they're causing some grief. I wonder if they've been in communication with the city of Grover Beach. Well, A couple of weeks after that, the city clerk emailed the proponents and said, the city council has asked me to call a meeting to discuss the deadlines for the measure. And when the proponents went to the meeting, they found out that the city had decided to follow the county guidelines, which are guidelines. They're not the law. And we knew the law very, very well from having, this is the fifth petition that people have done in Grover Beach, the fifth measure, ballot, citizens ballot measure. We knew very well that we had really, if we were to apply the law, that we would have until about the end of May to turn in these petitions and get them on the ballot. Well, the city, in adopting the county guidelines, reduced that time to April 22nd. At that time, we were halfway there. We needed 1,000 signatures. We had 500, and we'd achieved those in about 3 weeks. We had another 3 weeks to get the next 500, 2 to 3 weeks. So at that point, I was pretty confident that the city and the county, well, I know they're working together because they adopted the county guidelines. That confirmed my suspicions.
And how many signatures did you get?
We ended up with 1,256 signatures. We turned them in 2 days early. We actually had our 1,000 signatures a week before the April 22nd guideline. So within about, 10 days, 15 days, 2 weeks.
And you needed a little over 700 was the actual number.
Actually, we need 793 good signatures. And generally, when people are out collecting signatures for these things, there's about a 30% fail rate because there are a lot of people who oppose the buildings, but they don't necessarily have their voter registration at a Grover Beach address in this case. And so we wanted to collect 1,000. We have a very good, we have a very low fail rate. It's only about 20% on all the ones we've done. So if we needed roughly 800, 1,000 signatures would give us 800 good signatures.
So it was good to go well over the number.
Yeah, absolutely. But to go to 1,256 was simply a statement. The people of Grover Beach have spoken.
And that again is what really the amount of signatures gathered in Paso Robles over the parking was majorly over the amount, and really let them know if this goes to a ballot, you're going to lose.
And in many ways, more significant because Paso has a much larger population of voters and they needed a lot more signatures. So getting 1,000 signatures is doable. But I know Paso needed many, many, many more than that. So that's very impressive.
So have they confirmed the signatures yet?
They're supposed to, when they receive the signatures, and we put them together we tally them for them. We put together batches so that it's really easy to count. And they're supposed to immediately, when they see on the face of it, it's called prima facie, the city clerk is supposed to immediately say, okay, you know, I'm going to accept this. But our city clerk doesn't like to do that. So she told them she would let them know that afternoon. I haven't heard yet. And I'll send out a text while we're talking and find out. But I'm sure she came back and confirmed later that afternoon. Previously, she said she had 2 days. We couldn't find anything in law that said that.
And then how long before they actually confirm the signatures by checking each signature?
She has 30 calendar days to do that, which works out to be about 42 days. So we're looking at another 6 weeks before she absolutely has to confirm it and set up a council meeting to determine what action they'll take next.
And then it'll either go on the ballot or they'll decide they're going to just adopt it, right?
Yes, and they also have the option to take 30 calendar days to do any reports they'd like to do. Now, what's very interesting about that, it tells me that the city knew we were going to get the signatures. So they know where the public stands on this. What's very interesting about that is that they, after 6 months of asking, citizens in the city of Grover Beach got the city council and the planning commission to get together to talk about these tall buildings. And that was on March 31st. And the proponents actually met with the city on March 30th, where they received their deadline. And at that point, the city said that they were going to start those reports early so that we could be sure to have them timely to get the ballot measure on the ballot in November. So we know that all along they knew we could do this, despite cutting 8 days off the front of the collection and 6 weeks off the back of the collection.
That is interesting. And not for those that don't watch a lot of these petitions, I'd say I think more than half of them don't collect the signatures.
The fail rate is really high. And when you Google it, there's not a lot of information on local ballot measures, and I've seen different numbers. I've been quoting the numbers which say there have been 440 since 1910, 1911, when they were first instituted in our Constitution, in the California Constitution. And I think the success rate, not just getting on, if you can manage to get it on the ballot, the success rate is about 35% or something. It's a low success rate. And in this county, we've had a very high success rate in 2024, and we expect the same in 2026.
I think it's going to be very interesting. The public is pretty fed up with government not listening.
Yes, and what really intrigues me about this is that although we've had many ballot measures started since about 2022-23, even the ones that didn't get enough signatures, Paso Robles, recalling Bruce Gibson, recalling two of our Grover Beach mayor and another council member, even though there weren't enough signatures to make those happen, and also...
Paso Robles got way more than they needed. I think like three times as many.
Oh, there was a technical error. It didn't, I think.
She did. They claimed there was a technical error. They were
right.
But then they voted to... they voted to get rid of the paid parking. It was clear with the amount of signatures they
yes,
could not.
Apologies on that. Yeah, they did get the signatures. But the point I'm making is that every single one of these measures won what they were looking for.
You are correct. It's been very good for the public. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Debbie Peterson.
usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
Brookside Christian Academy in Atascadero, formerly known as North County Christian, is having their first annual Spring Gala on May 8th at the Atascadero Lake Pavilion. Let's support this wonderful school that is providing our children with a Christian classical education and spiritual discipline, and the tools to master academic skills while pursuing the truth. The Brookside Academy Gala theme is Let Goodness Grow. Please buy your tickets or make a donation at brooksideacademy.com. When friends and family come to visit this spring, you want them close, but maybe not that close. Give your guests a stay that they'll love at Allegretto Vineyard Resort. Spring is one of the most beautiful times here. Lush vineyards, milder weather, and fewer crowds before the summer heat. Your guests can relax in elegant rooms, enjoy vineyard views, and experience award-winning food and wine. It's the perfect balance of hosting and having your space. Book their spring stay at AllegrettoVineyardResort.com.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have Debbie Peterson, former mayor in Grover Beach, councilwoman, very involved in politics for many years. We're going to go over a number of things. We started with this thing in Grover Beach. The Citizen Initiative collected enough signatures, and at this point, if they approve them, they've either got to decide we're going to put it on the ballot or we're going to just approve it. And generally, when you get a lot more than you need to get, that is what happens. It gets approved, and it's usually I've seen a lot of times that the city councils just approve it. Let's talk a little bit. There's been a ton of huge story the last 2 weeks, just way more than usual. And we're going to go over some of these different stories that are kind of going around the area. One of the things I want to bring up real quick is John, but you're a real estate broker, correct?
I am, yes. 27 years.
And John Belcher, for many of those that don't know, he's the San Luis Obispo attorney that lost the $3.6 million judgment. And he is the San Luis Obispo attorney that on behalf of his wife sued Cal Coast News, which it appears Cal Coast News, the tentative is out. We will be successful with our slap motion, and they will be paying our court costs if that happens. We'll know next Wednesday. But one of the interesting things, after he lost that case, he did the bar went after him, but also on a completely different issue, the Board of Real Estate, and they had a violation against him, and he resigned with charges pending in October 2025. Is that real common for brokers to lose their licenses?
I will tell you that I have had only one direct experience in the last, well, the whole 27 years that I've been, had a real estate license, only one direct experience. And that was one where an attorney who was practicing real estate was attempting to defraud me and ended up, I believe, losing his license. But that is the only other case I've heard of. It is very difficult to do that, because most realtors do want to do it right, do want to be ethical.
I was really surprised. I had a number. I didn't realize this was as big a deal. After I posted it, a number of brokers called me and said, "This is a big deal. We're glad you did this."
So it's huge. Yeah.
And then the other thing going on with John Belcher, the bar did go after him. They had 12 complaints, fraud, moral turpitude, a number of things. They also did that in 2025. He tried to resign in January of this year with charges pending. And that's what he did with the Board of Real Estate. Because generally, you don't have to go through the court hearings. You don't have to argue that you didn't do anything. And the only time you have to go back and face it is if you decide you want your license back. So it's a way of avoiding the embarrassment and the allegations. So he had filed with the state bar to resign with charges pending. It has to be approved by the state bar court and then by the Supreme Court of California. The state bar court in the beginning said, "We're going to recommend we let him resign with charges pending." And I think some other things came forward and they have come back and said, "No, we do not want him to be allowed to resign with charges pending." And the reason being is they don't want it to look like, here's what they said. They asked the California Supreme Court to reject Belcher's request because it would reinforce a negative rhetoric that attorneys cannot conform to their ethical and professional responsibility and that they are able to evade discipline by resigning. Respondents' misconduct is serious as respondents' deceitful and corrupt conduct was complex and prolonged, and it involved respondent depriving his clients of a significantly higher amount than in the referenced cases. So they, and that he has repeatedly failed to uphold the most basic duties of an attorney. So they want this to come out at a hearing.
You know, it's like a lot of the things you see when corruption is discovered. Various departments come together, federal, local, state, and the Department of Real Estate is the Secretary of State. So this is very interesting because we're talking different departments here.
Yes, yes. And it will be, and then they allowed him to respond to that. And for those that don't remember, when they first gave him his disciplinary charges, they told him, I think they told him he had to respond like on October 4th. And when he was late, they gave him extra time. He was late this time. And I don't know if, didn't see where they're going to allow him extra time. So he may have to go in without having a written response first.
Well, he needs extra time, but I wouldn't say it's on this.
Yes. We're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with Debbie Peterson. And you've got to hear what's going on in San Luis Obispo with a red curb and a former mayor. And we also have some issues going on in the Jimmy Paulding election.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.